All right, tonight's message is called Free to Dance. Rick and I were trying to figure out what song to play to get you guys to dance to, and I was thinking you guys are probably familiar with Casey and the Sunshine Band and Boogie Shoes. I thought that might get you guys off your seats, but I thought I might have to dance too, so I decided not to. So anyway, think back to a school dance. I'm sure probably most of us have been to a school dance at least once. And school dances are just really phenomenal events because you have all of these hundreds of kids that will go to these school dances, but way less than 50% of them dance. And it's funny because their parents give them permission to go. Their parents even encourage them to go. They willingly go, because they could say, I don't want to go. And the school's the one hosting the event, so they're giving you permission to dance too. So they have complete freedom to dance. Everybody's said this is okay. And then they get there, and you might have 100 kids in the gym, and you might have about 13 of them dancing, and a few more standing kind of close to the dance floor like they want to dance, and then a bunch standing around the wall, which would have been me. Everything. So why is it like these kids are free to dance, they've been given permission to dance, and they don't dance? Well, we all know a lot of those answers. It's awkward. They're uncomfortable. There's lots of fears. You're worried about whether you can dance. You're worried about what you look like. You're worried about other people watching you. Even if you look good, you might just have a fear of, I don't want other people looking at me, watching me. And all of these things, and so you've got a majority of people won't let themselves dance. They have the freedom to dance, but they won't. And even today, I think there's even greater fear, which would definitely keep me from dancing. There's these things called cell phones with cameras and the capability of video recording, definitely not letting somebody record me dancing, because then you know where that's going. It's going on social media. So now the whole world can see you dancing. So even scarier. But what these people have done is they have put themselves in a self-inflicted prison. They've restricted themselves from participating in the freedom they have to do something because they're not ready to deal with these fears or worries or issues that they have that are all within themselves. Nobody else is putting any of that on them. We put those things on ourselves. And a lot of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about because you've been at the dances and been one of them who was reluctant to dance. And then let's say we even get up the courage to dance. I don't know, maybe all of you guys dance. I've got a lot of people from the 60s in here, so I don't know. But even if we do come up with enough courage to dance, we're still like super reserved and confined and restricted in how much we let ourselves dance. We just won't let ourselves loose. We won't let ourselves free. And so tonight, we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read real quick in Romans 8, starting in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word, and just pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the focus in Romans 7 and 8 is on the law, and in Romans 7, and then on the Holy Spirit and freedom in Romans chapter 8. And right at the very beginning there in Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, that therefore, as you guys have probably heard before, anytime you see the word therefore, you guys say, okay, what is it there for? It's referring to something previous. It's actually referring to all of chapter 7, where Paul goes into exhausting detail teaching us about the law. And so we need to kind of look at that so we know why he makes this big, bold statement in chapter 8, verse 1. What is that referring to? So in Romans 7, Paul teaches us about God's law, and he basically says, even though we have God's law, it does not save us. Even obeying the law, that does not save us. We're not saved by trying to live a holy life. We're not saved by being a good person. We're not saved by following a list of do's and don'ts that we put in place, or even that God's put in place. We're not saved by the law. This is works. We can't be saved by earning it through our actions, right? So no matter how good we are, the law can't save us. And Paul's explaining this. And in Romans 7, 22 and 23, he says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And what he's saying here, he says, in my mind, I agree with the law, but in my body, my flesh, I am not following the law. And I break the law all the time. So I'm basically at war with myself. And this is like an ongoing thing for our entire life, right? We're at war in our own body with whether we're being led by the flesh or following after God. And so then no matter how much my mind agrees with the law, I still have this problem. The law can't change me. The law can't empower me to do good. The law can't free me. The law can't save me. And it almost sounds like Paul in Romans is like speaking against God's law. Okay, well, if God's law can't save me, then why did God give it to me? Like, this isn't making sense. So, and if the law can't save me, can't change me, can't empower me, then why do I have to follow it? Right? So we're going to get to that. But he's got to make sure he lays the foundation for what the law can and can't do so that we have a proper understanding of the law and why we have it. So moving on to the next verse in Romans 7:24, he says, Paul declares, which we all have made this declaration in some form or fashion. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin? Like, this is so frustrating. Like, I can't get it right. Like, I keep making the same mistake over and over. Like, who is going to help me overcome this, right? Obviously, I've been trying to obey the law, and that hasn't helped me overcome it. So the problem is still there. And so then that brings us back to, that's the end of chapter 7. That brings us to Romans 8:1, where he says, therefore, now that you have an understanding of the law and you know what the law can and can't do, the first thing I want you to hear is don't condemn yourself. I know you're frustrated because you want to obey the law, but you can't. But don't condemn yourself. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So Paul tells us, gives us a very, very clear, deep understanding of the law. And then he says, okay, since we know we continue to fail at our efforts to obey the law, it's real easy for us to just say, this is hopeless. Paul even said it in Romans 7:15. He says, what I want to do, I don't want to do. The things that I don't want to do, that's the thing that I do, right? He's like, why do I keep doing the things that I don't want to do, but I don't do the things that I want to do? And then a few verses later, he just cries out, who's going to help me? Who's going to save me from this? And we see that it's Jesus that saves us, not the law. And so that's that declaration in Romans 8. So so we're not to condemn ourselves. And once we've made that decision to trust in Jesus, we're not condemned at all. We know we've broken the law 1,000 times. We know it's a struggle for us to live in the Spirit and not be led astray by the flesh. But we know, and it's easy for us to just say, I'm just not strong enough, or I just can't overcome this, so I'm just going to have to deal with it. I'm just going to make the best of it. And we embrace an attitude of, you know what, this is just the best it's going to get. So this is where I'm going to be. And I'm just going to deal with my struggles and just try to live the best I can. And it's kind of a hopeless attitude. But we've all kind of been there, because every one of us have areas in our life that frustrate us, that seem to be more difficult to obey and follow God in than in other areas of our life. So we understand that the law doesn't save us, but Jesus is the one that sets us free. No matter how well we know the Bible, no matter how much knowledge we have of God's word, we're dead in our sins. We're condemned, trapped, imprisoned, restricted, confined, until we are set free by God's Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus. Right? So Jesus sets us free. And then we see this promise in Romans 5, verses 1 and 5. It says, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then on in verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So this is, he's kind of given us some detail of what happens, right? We're set free by Jesus, but how does that happen? God pours out his Holy Spirit into our hearts. So now we can understand the frustration we were experiencing before, right? I'm trying to obey the law, but I don't have anything within me that's helping me to obey the law. So I continue to struggle with that. But when we make that decision to trust Jesus by faith, then God pours his Holy Spirit into our hearts. So now we have something present within us that wasn't there before, right? And that's when he says, okay, stop condemning yourself because you struggled with the law, because now I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. Also in Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, he says that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And that just kind of emphasizes that same thing again, that God puts his Holy Spirit inside of us. He pours his Holy Spirit into us, that we are filled with all the fullness of God. It's clear God pours his Spirit into us. He doesn't just give us a little bit of it. He gives us all of it. We have the Spirit of God inside of us as believers. And so there's no condemnation, right? So it is by faith in Jesus that God gives his Holy Spirit. And it is the Spirit of God that God puts in us that sets us free. So just kind of looking at Romans 8, 1 through 9. If you read back over that, really, that is an amazing presentation of the gospel. Just that section of scripture right there. It tells us basically that in Jesus, we have freedom from condemnation and we have freedom from sin. That Jesus is the one that sets us free from sin and from judging and condemning ourselves, or being judged or condemned by anybody, right? So it's a great gospel message right there. So we're going to move forward. We're going to jump on down to verses 12 and 13. And it says, therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So just real quickly here, we see that we're no longer subject to the desires of the flesh because we put to death those things because the Spirit of God is now inside of us. We're no longer obligated to live according to the desires of our body, those fleshly desires. In Jesus, we're free from obligation to the law and to the flesh. We're not obligated to those things anymore. And you guys know, we're so compelled by the flesh to do things even though we know they're not good for us. For example, I probably need to drink less sweet tea than I do. But I just feel compelled by my body to go get more because it tastes so good. And we could give 1,000 other examples of things that we just let our body lead us off to do things that just really, we know, like, no, it's not that good for me, but it feels good, you know. And this scripture just reminded us that you're not obligated to the flesh anymore. I know you used to be. It's basically what Paul's telling us. I know you used to be before you had the Spirit of God inside of you, but you're not anymore. So we're free from the flesh, and now we should be living a life that is obligated to the Holy Spirit. So now it's been replaced. We're no longer obligated to the flesh, to the body, but that should be replaced with an obligation to the Holy Spirit. All right, moving on, verses 14 through 17. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. So now, he says, okay, you've been given the Spirit of God. So now, you should be led by God's Spirit. And he just reminds us again, you're free from the spirit of bondage. You're free from any spirit of slavery. You're free from anything in your life that you feel like is holding you down, that's restricting you, that's holding you back, that's confining you. You've been set free from any type of bondage or slavery that you had before. Now you have the Spirit of God, and you're free from all that. And you can be led by the Spirit to live above those things that once held you down. So with that, we know that we have the Spirit of God. We should be free from fear, free from worry. We know we belong to God. We know we belong to God because we've been adopted by Him. So we're free from doubt. We know we're His. We're not on our own anymore. We're part of God's family, one of His children, so we can trust with confidence that He's going to look after His children. So we shouldn't have doubts. We should have confidence in the Holy Spirit because of all of these things. But one of the best things about that this passage where He says, we are heirs. When you're an heir, you receive, or you're in line to receive an inheritance. Everything that is your father's is going to be yours. It actually is yours. It just hasn't been passed down onto you yet. But what's His is yours. Everything that is God's belongs to us. We're part of the family. We're a child. We're children of God as believers. We're heirs. Man, if that doesn't give us confidence to live the life that God wants us to live, knowing that everything that God has belongs to me as well. All of His power, all of His goodness, all of His grace, His ability to love, all of those things. We can embrace those freely because He's poured those things out into our hearts. He's given His Spirit to us. We have it. He's put it inside of us. So we're heirs. So we've kind of covered that section of Romans. And so let's see where we're at. Basically, we've talked about three different types of people. We talk about the people that do not have the Holy Spirit. These people are unbelievers. This includes lots of good people that go to church. Lots of good people that have dedicated their life to trying to live a good life. To trying to follow the law. To try to follow a list of do's and don'ts. What I'm allowed to do. What I'm not allowed to do, right? And they have made up in their mind that by doing this, they are able to achieve God's approval. If they're living that good life. We know that that's works and that's not true. All of these people are missing that crucial element of faith and belief in their hearts that Jesus is Lord, which means they are also missing the Holy Spirit. So, people that don't have the Spirit. The second group of people, let me finish. And those people, like, they're still dead in their sin. They are still under the curse of the law. And they are not free. They're lost. And in bondage. The next group of people that have the Holy Spirit, right? These people realize they have a sin problem within themselves. They understand that only Jesus is the one that can give them victory over their sin. That they can't be freed from sin by the law. That Jesus is the one that gives them freedom from their sin. Because Jesus is the one that paid the penalty for the law. For the disobedience, right? So Jesus is the one that conquered the law. Jesus is the one that gives us freedom from the law, right? They understand that only Jesus can save them. Only Jesus can set them free. And from that understanding, they have decided to believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord and Savior and put their trust and faith in Him. And then upon this belief and faith, God has given them His Holy Spirit. These people have been freed from sin. These people have been freed from the law. They are free to live in the Spirit of God instead of in the flesh. But many of these people continue to hold on to some of their old self. They continue to be held back by the flesh. They continue to live as slaves, even though they've been made free. They have not allowed the Holy Spirit to have control of their life. They have the Holy Spirit in them, but they haven't given the Holy Spirit control of them. Which brings us to the third group of people. People that the Holy Spirit has them. So these people, they've made all those decisions. They understand they need Jesus for salvation and to be freed from the law and freed from sin. So they put their faith and trust in Jesus. God gives them His Holy Spirit. And they are free. But what makes them free to where the group that has the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have them yet, is that they willingly let the Holy Spirit lead. They understand that I have the Holy Spirit and I want Him to be in control of my life because I still have to deal with the flesh and I still deceive myself all the time thinking that this is good for me and it's not, and I don't need to be in control. I don't need to try to hold on to control. I don't need to hold on to control of any area of my life. This group is the only group that is truly 100% free. Now, there are two groups of believers here, but that group of believers that has the Holy Spirit, but they still hold on to their own control of certain areas of their life. God's still working on us in those things. And so it's a very interesting thing. So we're going to come back to all this in just a second. I went to the barbershop this past week, and we're sitting there. Actually, my son Gavin was with me. We need to take his brother Caleb with us because he's turned into a hippie. And or Grizzly Adams. I don't know if any of you guys have seen Caleb in the past few months, but he's got a big old beard and shaggy hair. He's in college, of course, so hopefully when he graduates, the hair will graduate too. So anyway, went to the barbershop, and we're sitting there, and a guy in the chair next to me who was getting his hair cut, he knew the barber. They were talking it up and everything. He said, "Hey, can we turn the TV on the golf match? I want to see Tiger." And so the guy's like, "Oh, well," and the guy that asked, he said, "It's on channel 25 or whatever. And the barber was like, "Oh, well, we just got antenna channels on that TV." And the guy was like, "Well, isn't that a smart TV?" And the barber was like, yeah, I think it is. And then the guy starts telling him all the things you can do with this smart TV, all the things you can watch. He's like, "You know, you can just go on the internet on that TV. You can watch Netflix or Disney or ESPN or Hulu or all this stuff." He's like, "All these things you can do with this smart TV." Like, he didn't say it, but he's like, "Why are you just watching antenna channels?" Like, this guy had a smart TV, but he wasn't using it. He was still treating it like it was an old TV. This TV could do so many things. It was had all this power and capability to do so much more. Not even just watch TV. Go on the internet, just do all kinds of stuff. You could do and you guys, hopefully most of you know, all of you know, I mean, you could do so much with this. And this guy still has possession of a smart TV, but treating it like it's still his old TV. Now, aren't we the same in so many ways? This is the difference between a believer that has the Holy Spirit and a believer where the Holy Spirit has them. We've got the Holy Spirit. We're capable of so much. So much. We have power inside of us that we don't even realize that we are capable of doing because we don't use that smart Holy Spirit inside of us. We continue to try to rely on our own dumb self to make decisions and do things. So, moving on. And there's some verses that really kind of highlight this. If I can find the right page. Right here. Where it just talks about the old versus the new. You guys are familiar with these. These are not in your bulletin. I just added these as the Holy Spirit told me to. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We're a new person. We're not the old person we were anymore. Romans 6:4, "Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We're supposed to be living a brand new life once we receive the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be holding on to that old life at all. And Ephesians 4:22-24, "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." That we continue to hold on to some of the old self. God put his Holy Spirit in us and we're a brand new creation. But in many areas of our life, we continue to live like we're our old self. And this isn't a new battle. So, 1 Corinthians 2:11-12 says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Now that we have the spirit of God inside of us, we have the power to know the things of God. A power that we didn't have before. God has given us his spirit, and that enables us to know the things of God. God's freely given us of himself so that we can be holy just as he is holy. So that we can have the mind of Christ. He's put that spirit in us. In John 7:35, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said," Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." God poured his spirit into our hearts, not so that we could just hold on to the Holy Spirit and go ahead and continue to live the life that we want to live. God poured his Holy Spirit into us so that we could pour his Holy Spirit out to everyone around us. It's supposed to be a river of flowing water out of us. You know, the interesting thing about a river is they don't stop flowing. A river doesn't take days off, right? It's every day the river flows. And I think God uses a river on purpose, because he wants us to have his spirit flowing out of us every single day. And not with any man-made dams put up that slows the flow down or anything, right? Just natural, free-flowing love of God in every area of our life. So, this is where, as you can probably hear, I've already insinuated, but this is one of the biggest failures of Christians and the church today. We have got so many Christians that are stuck in the place where they have the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't have them. They have the Holy Spirit, but they're still holding on to part of their old self. They have the Holy Spirit, and they're free to live for God without restriction, but they still want control. They're not willing, we're not willing to give the Holy Spirit control. See, we want to go to that dance. And I think a lot of us, we even want to dance. And we want to dance freely. But we just won't let ourselves. We have an issue with control. We won't give the Holy Spirit control. In our Christian walk, we just continue to restrict ourselves. And I think a lot of times we're real quick to say it's not us too. You know, we can deflect to other things in the world. Well, the world's crazy, blah, blah, blah. The world was crazy back then too. The world's always been crazy. People talk about how crazy the world is now. My mom, especially. My mom just goes crazy about the world is just worse than it's ever been. And I quickly remind, I already made reference to this once tonight, but I quickly remind her, like, didn't you grow up in the 60s, Mom? Like, are you sure it wasn't crazy back then too? Because it was pretty crazy. Like, I don't think the world being crazy is a new thing. But we can't excuse ourselves because the world's crazy. We can't excuse ourselves because we decide to point at all the bigger problems in the world and not realize that we still have our own problems that we need to deal with, you know. And maybe the truth is, if we as Christians, the possessors of the Holy Spirit, who are supposed to be pouring that Holy Spirit out to the world around us, if we would actually give the Holy Spirit control of our lives, maybe the world wouldn't be that crazy. Maybe it would be better. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." We shouldn't have any fear of giving the Holy Spirit control of our life. We should recognize that the Spirit of God makes us powerful and that we are powerful because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. And we also have, it says, not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We're powerful and we have God's perfect love inside of us. So we have the ability inside of us to love in any and all circumstances. But we excuse ourselves from loving all the time. We don't do a good job of loving in every area, in every situation, to every person. And I'm as guilty as the rest of you. I mean, there's a lot of situations out there that are hard to love. But for us to say, I just can't love that person, or I just can't stand it when somebody does this. Well, that's because we're still holding on to control of our life, and we're not letting the Holy Spirit show us how to love. So, if you read on after that verse, the first part of verse 8 in 2 Timothy 1 says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." because you haven't been given a spirit of fear, and because you are powerful and have the ability to love like God loves, then you should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should be completely open to share the testimony of the Lord with any and everyone, anywhere and everywhere. It can be at a gas station. It can be in the supermarket. It can be wherever. It can be on a text message. Doesn't even have to be face to face. So, the last one, which kind of brings this full circle. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty." Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, where did we say the Spirit of the Lord is? It's inside of me, right? So wherever I go, no matter what the situation is, I have freedom because the Spirit is always with me. But man, we restrict ourselves in certain places. Like, well, I don't want to talk to someone at the baseball game. They're trying to watch their kid play. That's not freedom. I've just restricted myself. I just held myself back. We think of so many reasons not to be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus, when the truth is, God has not given us any reason not to. So any reason we have not to is not from the Spirit of God. It's from the spirit of the flesh. It's not from the Lord. So we are free to dance. We're free to live this Christian life that God has called us to live. We have everything we need to live it. We're free to share with anyone, anytime. We should be having faith conversations and conversations about Jesus all the time. We've got to stop restricting ourselves. We're the ones that are restricting the Holy Spirit. We're the ones that are holding ourselves back. We're the ones that we don't want to give control to the Holy Spirit. And we think when we have control, that makes us independent and free. And you can see that God completely refutes that. He said, no. God says, not until I'm in control are you completely free. Because you were born in sin. You need my Spirit to show you how to be free. So let my Spirit be the one in control in your life.